This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Matthew chapter 13, we'll start with verse 24. Look at how the Lord puts it when he talks about the types of people that there are in the church. Matthew 13, starting with verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat." Tares means weeds. "And went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares or the weeds also appeared." That's the parable that Jesus told about. He said that the kingdom of God, the church, is like that field where what's supposed to be growing is a good crop of wheat. But the enemy came along and among the wheat sowed weeds. Now, what's the difference between a flower and a weed? Here it is. A flower is something that's useful to you, and a weed is something that's absolutely useless. Isn't that right? What makes a weed? It's useless. And the question that we're going to deal with today is, what are we? Amen? Because catch this. There will always be weeds in the church. Take a look around for a moment. Take a look around. Look at everybody. Look how beautiful everybody is. Amen. Now, I want you to say in your mind as you look around, are you a weed? Don't answer that question. Amen. But let's find out. Jesus talked about how you tell the difference between those who are flowers and those who are weeds. It's in the passage that we read today, the parable that he told about the sower who went forth to sow. Go over to Luke chapter 8. I'm going to read for you verses 5 through 8. Jesus is telling this parable, this story about a sower. And in this story, we can see how to evaluate whether you're a weed or whether you're wheat. Luke 8, starting with verse 5. "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Now Jesus told this story. And he said, the sower went forth to sow, and some fell on this type of ground, and the birds ate it up, and some fell on this type of ground, and it sprouted up and didn't stay. And then some fell on another type of ground, thorny ground, and it got choked out. And only one type of ground was good. And then he left it. He said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so the disciples are going along. Now, what was that all about? And so when they got along with him, they said, "Now, Lord, please tell us what the parable means. We don't understand." And Jesus began to explain. Go over to verse 12 of Luke 8. Hear his explanation. There are four types of people that you're going to find in the kingdom. Four types of people in the church. And Jesus is breaking it down in this parable. Luke 8, 12. "Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." The first type of people that Jesus is talking about are those who come and hear, but they never get it. They come and hear the word, but they still never get it. When I lived in Colorado, I had friends. And these friends sometimes came to our church, the Second Baptist Church of Boulder, Colorado. But they never hooked up with the church at all. But then the Mormons came by their door. And they went and visited the Mormon church. And they really loved it down there. Because the Mormons emphasized family. And, you know, they just really, they would go out of their way to stay in contact and to, you know, invite them to dinner and all of these things. That, honestly, we should have been doing that. Amen? We didn't. The Mormons did. And they loved the Mormon church. So that's where they went. But catch it. What was the issue? You see, they went to the Mormon church because it made them feel good. But they didn't have a priority on making sure they got the Word of God. You see, you can have the most rinky-dink church that's preaching the Word, and you can have a Taj Mahal of a church that has some kind of error in the Word that it's preached. And if you have a priority on the Word, you know where you need to be. Amen? You got to go where the Word is. No matter what anybody else has to offer you, if the Word is not the Word of God that's coming forth, you don't need to be there. The problem that my friends had is that they heard the Word, but the Word was not their priority. So even though they sat in the church and the Word was coming forth and being preached, they were looking around and saying, well, I don't feel as comfortable here as I feel in the Mormon church on the other side of town. I'm going to go there. What happened? The devil plucked that word right out of their hearts. Plucked that word right out of their hearts. Why? Because they did not have a priority on the Word of God. The Word of God was not the thing that was of most concern to them. You see, the devil understands us. He understands that he can substitute something for the Word, and a lot of us will never know the difference. Amen? Parents, how many of you ever use a pacifier with your infant? Use a pacifier with your infant? Amen. Now, when that child starts sucking on that pacifier, what does he think he's doing? He's saying, well, I'm sucking. I'm supposed to be getting something here. Amen? Now, what do you understand? A pacifier is a lot cheaper than giving him milk all the time, so I'm just going to give him a pacifier. Amen? In other words, what did you do? You gave him a substitute. And the poor little child at that stage, forgive me, parents, is too dumb to know the difference. Amen? And so he just contentedly sucks on his pacifier until his stomach finally starts rumbling and you got to give him something real. See, the devil specializes in giving us pacifiers instead of the Word. If you come to church looking for anything but the Word of God, the true, preached, taught Word of God, the devil will find something else to pacify you. And he will pluck that word right out of your heart. We have people come here like that sometimes. I mean, I have seen people come in, and they come in, and they sit, and they look. Now see, most of you don't get to see them, but I'm looking right at them. And I see that expression on their face. And they just look. You know, no reaction to the whole service. The word is coming out. No reaction at all. And then the moment the service is over, boom, out of here. And you know, I'm going, well, why did they come? But that happens sometimes. Catch this. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 15. Verse 16. See, whatever happens when somebody like that comes, I know that their priority is not the Word, because if their priority was the Word, they couldn't just sit there like that. They couldn't just not react. They couldn't just not get involved in what's happening when the Word is coming forth. And, Jeremiah, look at this. Jeremiah 15, 16. Your words were found, and I ate them. Your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Do you see what it's saying? Your word is the joy and rejoicing of my heart. If your priority is the word and the word is coming forth, you have to react. You can't just sit there and have enough expression on your face and not react to the word at all. If there's joy going on, hallelujah, I'm going to see something. Amen. And so there ought to be some rejoicing in the word. There ought to be joy that the word is coming forth and it's feeding something deep inside of me. And if that is not happening, you need to check yourself. Now, I'm not going to brag. Amen. But let me tell you something. You do get the word here. Amen. You do get the word here. And so if anybody can come and not feel any stirring in your soul, in your spirit, when the word is coming forth, you need to check yourself. It may be that those little birds that Jesus talked about, the devil himself, is plucking that word right out of your heart. You need to ask, what's my priority? Why am I here? Is the word my priority? If the word's my priority, the devil can't take it. But if it's anything else, you need to know he'll snatch it right out of your heart. You know, it amazes me sometimes. I'll see people who have been maybe for years in a church where the word is being preached. And then for whatever reason, they leave that church and they go someplace else where all that's going on is a show. And I'm going, how can you do that? I mean, once you've tasted of the word of God, how can you go someplace else where all they give you is some pacifier, some substitute? I don't understand it, but I do understand it. The word is not their priority. And the whole time they were sitting in the church where the word was being preached, guess what? The devil was plucking it right out of their heart. Just even as the word was falling on that ground, he came right along and plucked it out because the word was not their priority. You know something? I talk a lot about the ministries we're going to have in our church one day. Amen? Because I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the choir. I had the opportunity to visit Brooklyn Tabernacle. And their choir is, at the time I was there, was about 240 members. Amen? The choir. We're going to have one of those. Amen? We're going to have a praise and worship team and we're going to have a functioning nursery. Amen? All of those things are coming. But you know what I believe? I believe that God has a purpose in where we are right now. And you know what that purpose is? People who come to us now do not come because of the choir. Amen? If they come because of the choir, then they're one of those that come once and zoop. Amen? They don't even come because we got a good nursery. Amen? Nursery's important. But we're not there yet. And so people who come and stick are here for one reason. Their priority is getting the word of God. That's what they're concerned about. And see, I believe that's the stage that God has us in, that we are drawing people who have a priority on the word so that when the people come, and they will come, who are attracted by the choir, by the music, by the other things that a church has, they're going to come, but then we're going to have a core of people who are ready to reach out to those people and show them what it's really all about. Amen? See, so this is an important time in the life of our church because we are building the foundations. Yes. Building the foundations. And those foundations are who? People. Amen. The people that God is sending. You know why we have a radio broadcast and we do it the way we do it? We could do many things. You know, some people get on the radio and they just talk on the radio. Some people play music and other things. What we do is we give you the actual messages that are being preached here. How many of you were influenced to come here, at least in part, by the radio? Let's just see. Turn around and look, everybody. Amen? Now catch this. Do you know why we do our radio broadcast the way we do it? It's so that you can hear what kind of word you're going to get if you come to Covenant Community Church. Amen? You see, you kind of pre-screen yourself. The people who want the word, come. And the people who don't want the word, at least the way that it's being taught here, they go someplace else. Praise God. And so the whole purpose of doing that broadcast is to give people an opportunity to say, yes, that's the way a word needs to be preached so that I can get it. Amen. And so I want to be there where the word is going forth that way. Why? Because my priority is on the word of God. And when my priority is on the word, there's nothing in the world that the devil can do about it. Now, what does it mean when I talk about my priority being the word? Go over to 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Look at this. If the word is your priority, it won't just show up in what you say. It'll show up in what you do. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be diligent. Now catch what that's telling us. If the word really is your priority, then you recognize that there is an involvement on your part in receiving the word. You've got to do something. You've got to be diligent about something. If the word is truly your priority, then there's more to it than just sitting back and letting the word flow past you. Amen? Go over to Psalm 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. How many of you have a perfect memory? All you have to do is hear something once and you got it. All right. I'm going to test you. I'm going to find out. All right. Amen. He got it that pretty good? Well, pretty good. All right. Amen. All right. Now, anybody else got a perfect memory? I only have to say something to you once and you got it. Okay, now catch this. The word we just read says, I will not forget your word. That means I will not neglect it. I will not let it go. If you don't have a perfect memory, what do you need? You need some assistance so that you will not forget the word. Isn't that right? Now, we emphasize, and I remember just a couple of months ago, we had it in the bulletin. Priscilla spoke to it. You need to take notes. Now, why do I want you to take notes? Because I feel like my words are immortal and you need to get them down. No. No. No, but why? Understand, most of what you hear will be gone an hour after you heard it. Amen? Now, let me just be real with you. I put a lot of work into these sermons. You're supposed to get it. Amen? I don't want to be standing up here and I'm preaching this stuff and it goes zip and it's gone. Because it is not me. What? It's the word. The word has power. And you need to be able to capture it and retain it and to go back over it and to look it up in the scripture and to see, okay, pastor said this. Let me see if I really understand how this fits together. And then, Lord, okay, I see that. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, you show me how I need to put that to work in my life. You see, there is an active part that each one of us has to take. If the word is going to be our priority, we have to be diligent. We have to be diligent. And that's why we encourage you, take notes, get the tapes. Understand this. Catch it. Those tapes are made available at $2 a piece. How many of you know we don't get rich on selling tapes? Amen? We're not selling those tapes for the sake of making money on tapes. The tapes are there because you need to hear the word and to hear the word and to hear the word and to hear the word so that you can retain the word. Amen? Amen. You see, there's a purpose to all of this. And the purpose is your priority needs to be the word of God. And you need to do everything in your power to make sure that you get all the word that you can get. Get all the words you can get. Amen. Have any of you ever gone to a restaurant and you paid, I mean, you paid, one of these high-class restaurants, you paid for this dinner. And then something happened and you had to get up and leave and you didn't get to eat that dinner you paid for. That ever happened to any of you? Well, you can imagine. Amen. Amen. I mean, all that good food going to waste and you're still hungry. And you paid for it. Catch this. Many people come to church, put their time, their effort, even some little bit of their money into it, and walk away and leave all that good food on the plate. Just leave it on the plate. Let it go to waste because they didn't do anything to make sure they got fed. If the word is your priority, the devil can't steal it from you, but you have got to be diligent. Now, I want you to know this. There is hope even for weeds. Amen? There is hope even for weeds. Many times in the church, there are people who come, and even if they don't have that evil expression on their face, they sit and the word does not have an impact because the priority in their life is not the word. But guess what? When they come and the word goes forth, it's good. I was driving in this morning and I was noticing the number of birds that were sitting above the roadway. And I was just kind of asking myself, why are all those birds over the road? You know, why don't they go all other places? And I was thinking about this. Well, maybe it's because there's a field around here where there's seed, there's feed for them. Have you ever seen a flock, hundreds, thousands of birds light in a field and eat up everything they can find? Seen that? Notice this. That flock of birds can hit that field. Man, they are industrious about getting every piece of seed they can find. And yet, come spring, there will still be some seeds that will sprout. They picked up everything they could find, but they didn't get it all. You know what? When somebody sits under the word, hallelujah, the devil is busy trying to pick that word out of his heart. But God be praised, you know what? Sometimes he misses one. Sometimes that seed goes down. Amen. And it may be years. It may be years later before that thing sprouts. But guess what? The word will have its impact. You ever been driving along the highway and all you see is concrete, except you come to one little place where there has been just a little crack in the concrete and there's a weed or a flower or a plant sticking out of that crack. You see, anywhere that the seed can find an entrance, eventually it'll grow. Amen? I'll go over to Isaiah 55. Look at this. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. Look at what God says about this word that he's given us. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Do you see the promise that God makes about his word? When that word goes forth, it will have impact. It will have effect. The devil does everything he can to remove that word. But if somebody will continue to sit under the word of God, eventually the word's going to find a place to get in. Amen? And it will do its work. That's why I am happy. If somebody comes and they don't respond, and they just sit and they just watch, I do want them to get that evil expression off their face. I don't want to look at it. Amen? But they just come and they just sit and hear the word. And even though the devil is busy plucking it out, some of it's going to get in. Some of you may have people in your families, people that you love, people that you are concerned about. And you know the devil's been plucking every word, it seems like, that they get. The devil immediately plucks it out. It does nothing in their life. And you're just about to despair, just about to give up. They're too hard for God to do anything with them because they won't listen to the word. Understand this. If that person will continue to be where the word is going for, eventually God's going to get that word in. Amen? I mean, if they're willing to come to church, you encourage them to come to church. I mean, even though they say, I don't get anything out of it. Even though they say, well, you know, I could go down to the club and get better entertainment than that. They're right. Amen. But the word will do its work. You continue to pray for God to make just a little crack. Just a little crack where the seed of the word can get into that person's life. That the devil will overlook just that one little word. Oh, that word, they'll never listen to that anyway. I won't even bother to pluck that one out. And that's just the one that maybe a year later or 5 years later, even 10 years later, that word will sprout. That seed will sprout in their life. And they will come and place themselves at the foot of Jesus. Never give up. Never despair. As long as the word is going forth, there is hope for the person who hears it, because God's word will accomplish that for which he sent it. But here's the bottom line for you today. You need to make a decision for yourself. What are you going to be? Are you going to be wheat? Or are you just going to be a weed taking up space? Because the word is not your priority. Let me make a suggestion to you today. If you believe that the word is the priority of your life, you need to start being diligent about it. And we're going to talk about this next time. What does diligent mean? It doesn't just mean hearing the word. Praise God you're here today to hear the word. Amen? I praise God for that. There's some people who could have been here who are not here. They're missing good food. Amen? Missing some good food. So praise God, you're here today to hear the word. But it has to go beyond that. You've got to be diligent about it. You've got to be diligent to make sure that that word gets deep down inside and that those seeds begin to sprout. Let me make a suggestion to you. You take your notes from today. And if you don't have your notes today, you go get the tape and make notes from the tape. Amen? You take your notes from this message and you go home and you start looking up those scriptures and you start saying, oh Lord, you show me what your word for me through this message is. You show me the changes that need to take place in my life because of the word that was preached. And you do that every day this week. You do that. You ask God on the basis of that word that you're hearing and the word that you see written in his written word. And you take that to the Lord and ask him by his Holy Spirit to give you direction as to how to implement that word in your life. And guess what? You will be a fruitful flower and not a weed in the kingdom of God, because the word will do its work in you.